Hello and welcome to the How to Be Top podcast. Throughout 20 years of teaching experience, I've seen far too many students not achieve the marks that they ought to achieve in exams simply because they were nervous about them. It only takes a few bad exam results early on in education for a student to rubber stamp themselves as being always bad under exam conditions. It's a bit like being afraid of dogs all your life because you got nipped by one when you were 5. What the downloads on this site will do is reprogram the way you feel about exams and give you some clever techniques to help your recall skills when under pressure. What this podcast aims to do is to explain how and why these mental tricks and techniques work and what a profound effect they can have on your future successes. So what actually are these techniques? Well, they're derived from a methodology called Neuro-Linguistic Programming, or NLP. In a nutshell, NLP came about through the studying, analysis, and modelling of human excellence. It looked at naturally brilliant people, broke down what they were doing, even though they might not know that they were doing it themselves, and worked out ways to copy and to teach it. A common factor in all of their research was that trance played a big part in becoming good at anything. The word trance probably makes you think of hypnosis, and that probably fills your head with images of evil Svengali types and humiliating stage hypnosis acts. So the first thing for me to do is to help you become comfortable with the two terms. Basically, hypnosis and trance refer to much the same thing. So what is it? Hypnosis is a state of mind that we experience every day. It's a naturally occurring state, somewhere between wakefulness and sleep. It's real and it's measurable. You've probably heard of the electrical activity in the brain being called brainwaves. Now, when you're wide awake and alert, your brain resonates at somewhere between 15 and 40 cycles per second. This is called the beta frequency brainwave. Alpha frequency is slower, somewhere between 8 and 15 hertz, and here you're more relaxed. Theta is slower still, at between 5 and 8 hertz. Here you're deeply relaxed and chilled out. When your brainwaves dip down into the theta bandwidth, you go off into a daydream. Your brain has to do this every once in a while throughout the day to ensure that it's functioning properly. It's like a built-in mental maintenance break. Now, you might only dip for a few seconds whilst gazing out of a window, but that will be enough for your brain to refresh itself ready for a stint of beta frequency concentration. The slowest brainwave state is the delta frequency, and that's between 1 and 4 cycles per second, and here you'd be deeply asleep. Trance occurs when we're in the theta wave band, between 4 and 8 cycles per second. You'll recognize this feeling of being in a daydream. You can probably remember that detached feeling you have at school when you gaze out of a window in a boring geography lesson, or when your eyes are fixed on the flames in a log fire at the end of a long day, or when you're glazing over during a conversation with someone really boring. Sorry, I was miles away there. What were you saying? You know what I mean. You're there but not there. You're aware yet miles away at the same time. A hypnotherapist, or indeed my voice when you use the How to Be Top download, will guide you into this state by getting you to relax and focus your concentration on something. After a while, you'll become so absorbed that you'll become unaware of your surroundings. In other words, you'll be entranced. And there are many examples of everyday trances, times when your attention becomes completely focused on just one thing. Take a trip to the movies, for instance. The film is fantastic, it's exciting, it's exhilarating, emotional, terrifying. But why? It's only a projection on a screen. Well, the more entranced by the film you are, the more the fact that it's a projection on a cinema screen is kept at the unconscious level. You're focused on one thing, the movie. All the emotional content of the film is going straight to your unconscious mind without being vetted by your conscious mind. You believe it, you laugh, and you cry. Lots of things will be kept at the unconscious level. The smell of stale popcorn will still be there, but the filter mechanism in your brain will decide not to trouble your conscious mind with such a trivial bit of sensory information. And it doesn't stop there. For the duration of the film, all those niggling worries about money, relationships, or work will be kept at bay, and what a relief it is. Some people call it escapism. I call it trance. And if it's a good enough film, you'll even be able to filter out pain or discomfort. And that's analgesia. And what about the really exciting bits of the film when we have a handful of popcorn halfway between the bucket and your mouth? This is catalepsy. These are both scientifically recognized states found in profound hypnosis. And here we are experiencing them in a cinema on a Saturday night. Trance really is an everyday occurrence, and it's one that we can use to great benefit. So, you're in the cinema watching the film and you're totally absorbed. Your brain is still monitoring your surroundings, but it's not sending this information to your conscious mind. Your unconscious mind, however, is still acknowledging everything. If the smell of the popcorn were to change to the smell of burning, it would sense the possible emergency and break you out of your trance. Your unconscious mind is your guardian angel. It keeps a constant vigil, day and night, protecting you from danger and keeping you safe. Now, it's this filtering process in the brain which is the key to understanding hypnosis and how it works. Using the guidance of a skillful hypnotherapist, or the voice on a CD, or my voice on the download, you can deepen this daydream state. So the next question is, how is this trance state useful? Well, when you're in trance, you can communicate with your unconscious mind. And why would I want to do that, I hear you ask? Well, firstly, let's define what the unconscious mind, or as some people call it, the subconscious mind, actually is. You've probably heard statements like, we only use 5% of our brains. Well, yeah, I'll go along with that, sort of, but obviously the rest of the brain is still being used for something, otherwise it wouldn't be the size that it is. It might be safer to say that our conscious mind only uses 5% of our brain. Perhaps our unconscious mind uses the other 95%. Okay, think of all the things that you never think about. Breathing, pulse rate, sweating, growing, healing, digesting, blinking, even waking up in the morning. The subconscious mind looks after all of this and more for you. There are millions of things right now that you might not be conscious of until I mention them. Like the feeling of the back of the chair against your shoulders. Or the sound of the traffic outside. Or how about the memory of your first bicycle? As I mentioned them to you, your brain's filter diverted the information to your consciousness. Your brain monitors the sum total of everything that you're experiencing and only sends the important, relevant information to you, your conscious mind. For example, imagine you're in a crowded room where everyone is chatting away, creating a hubbub of noise. Now, if someone in the room starts talking about you and mentions your name, your filter will pick that out of the noise and alert you to it. Another example is when you're scanning through a broadsheet newspaper and suddenly you just know that you saw the name Brittany there somewhere. I saw it there somewhere. I just know I did. And then you have to spend 10 minutes trying to find it again. Your unconsciousness takes in the whole page using your peripheral vision, and it will filter out all the relevant bits and send the information to your conscious mind. Your brain is, at this very moment, taking in a staggering amount of information. If you were to be aware of all of it, with no filter in place, you would go completely nuts. Your unconscious mind also stores your emotions. And I'm sure you already know how difficult it can be to override your emotions. The unconscious always wins. Walk across a plank spanning two tall buildings, and your emotions will very quickly present themselves to you, even though your conscious mind knows you're perfectly capable of walking in a straight line. Similarly, if you have been nervous for an exam before, you probably unconsciously believe that you will be again next time. And this we can change. Wouldn't it be fantastic to go into any exam, test, or even interview situation feeling confident and in control? And so long as you prepare properly, there's no reason why you shouldn't. We just need to overwrite some of your self-limiting beliefs with some new, empowering ones. And this is when we do it, when we are in trance. So if the brain's filter mechanism focuses on just one thing, and this could be your breathing, or a sensation, or just a thought, or even a swinging pocket watch if you're into corny old movies, then all the other sensory information that's being monitored by your brain is not being forwarded to your consciousness, including the suggestions on a hypnosis CD. Your brain, amazing bit of kit that it is, still hears the words, it just doesn't see the point of alerting your conscious mind to it. It hears the suggestions, thinks, I like the sound of that, and acts upon it and absorbs the information. Now, I can hear you thinking that you could go around hypnotizing people to give you all their money, or to get them to tell the head that he's an orangutan, or to run naked through the science block singing, "Don't push your granny when she's shaving." But unfortunately, the unconscious mind has another function. It's your very own guardian angel. It will, under no circumstances, accept any suggestions that are potentially harmful or against your code of morals. It's such a shame that Hollywood has misunderstood hypnosis and portrayed it so woefully inaccurately. You can't be brainwashed, you can't get stuck in trance forever, and you will not quack like a duck unless that is something that you particularly want to do. So, let's look at what happens in a hypnosis session. Firstly, the induction. This talks you down into a deeply relaxed state. When the body relaxes, so too does the mind. You'll experience a tranquil peacefulness. Your mind balanced somewhere between being awake and asleep, but you'll still be 100% aware. You'll perhaps know that your nose itches, but you can't be bothered to move your hand to scratch it. Just 2 or 3 minutes in this trance state can be as refreshing as a 2-hour nap, and how useful could that be? And it's so easy to learn. Next, the suggestions go in. Here's one of the suggestions from the How to Be Top download. I feel confident in exams and my recall skills work effortlessly. The little voice in your head which would usually say, "Oh no, I don't feel confident in exams and my recall skills never work effortlessly," is temporarily offline during hypnosis. This is just something that happens in our brains when they enter the theta brainwave frequency, and over the years we've learnt to harness this natural phenomena. When using commercial hypnosis CDs and tapes, there are often multiple suggestions coming from both sides of the stereo image. The conscious mind will only be able to track one or two sentences at a time, leaving the third to slip through to the unconscious, under the radar, as it were. You'll be aware that something's being said, but it will be too confusing to follow consciously. The unconscious mind, however, is brilliant at picking the information out, and it will acknowledge it and absorb it into the new, enhanced you. The last step of a hypnosis session is the wake-up. Since you're not asleep, wake-up is completely the wrong term. I prefer to use the term outro, being the opposite of intro, I suppose. Here, there are often extra suggestions to the effect that you'll find it even easier to go into trance next time, or that you'll be able to go even deeper. Then there will be some kind of a command to return you to the normal waking state. And this is often something like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you find you really drift off very deeply during the hypnosis session, then you might only hear the last couple of numbers. This is a good indication of a nice deep trance. If you were very tired when you started the session, you might actually drift off to sleep. The suggestions won't be as effective, so try choosing a less comfortable chair and time your session next time when you have more energy. In fact, if you suffer from insomnia, just leave the outro off completely. Easy. Another extremely powerful way to change your beliefs about your own capabilities is to use guided visualizations. This is phenomenally effective. Sportsmen and women have been using this technique for years, but we can all do it. To convince you of the power of visualization, I need to tell you a few hard, scientifically proven facts. Firstly, the brain cannot tell the difference between a real action and a vividly imagined action. Just think about that for a moment. The brain cannot tell the difference between a real action and a vividly imagined action. Your intellectual, rational, conscious mind knows the difference, but your unconscious mind doesn't. Think about it. When you're not conscious, you're asleep. And when you're asleep, you vividly imagine things, don't you? Yes, you do. It's called dreaming. And don't dreams feel 100% real at the time? I call it real virtual reality. It's true. The brain cannot tell the difference between a real action and a vividly imagined action. And there have been many experiments that have proved this. One of the most famous ones involved two evenly matched basketball teams. One team was to shoot hoops during their training. The other team was to sit quietly in a comfortable chair and vividly imagine shooting perfect hoops time after time after time. Every single shot went in. Now, when the two teams were pitched against each other in a shoot-off, the ones who had been doing the visualization annihilated the ones who had been doing the real practice. Proof indeed that visualization really works. Sadly, negative visualization works too. Perhaps in a play you visualize yourself drying up and forgetting all your lines. Or perhaps on the sports field you just know that you're going to drop a catch as the ball speeds towards you because you can see it happening. Using hypnosis, we can turn that around so that we expect success instead of failure. Some lucky people think that way anyway, and wouldn't you know, they get all the breaks. Using hypnosis, you really can download and install a positive mental attitude that can turn your life around. If you could bottle it and sell it, you'd be worth an absolute fortune. So, to get back to visualization for a minute, if we vividly imagine going through the exam process, feeling enthusiastic and confident, then when we perform for real, the brain thinks, okay, here we go again, I've experienced this before, and you'll find yourself feeling enthusiastic and confident, just like you imagined. The only rules are that you have to make the visualization as real as you possibly can, and to do it as often as you possibly can. Run through your positive visualization as you drop off to sleep last thing at night. The visualization track on the How to Be Top downloads page uses metaphors to communicate with the unconscious parts of your mind. Metaphors are the language of the unconscious. When we dream, we often dream in metaphors. This is why we dream such surreal stuff sometimes. We, as humans, learn so well using stories to illustrate concepts that we're trying to communicate. When we use metaphors in visualization, our unconscious mind thrives on the stimulation and we learn and change at a very deep level. With a little practice and repetition, running through these mental stories becomes a habit and our skills become turbocharged. As youngsters, we are seldom prepared for what it will be like when we start taking our first exams. And when we do, we are like a rabbit in the headlights, petrified. A one-off negative emotion like this can be enough to trigger the same reaction every time you take an exam. The situation, the room, the paper, the whole atmosphere triggers the memory. And it doesn't seem to matter how deeply the memory might be buried in your unconscious. You might not remember the experience consciously at all, but the reaction is the same. Racing pulse, knotted stomach, sweaty hands, all classic fight or flight responses, all inappropriate and all preventing us from doing our best. Hypnosis and trance changes the irrational beliefs that we have about ourselves, and all of a sudden we break through the blockages that have been there for years. It's not rocket science, and it's not too late to give it a try. The downloads that accompany this podcast are available on www.howtobetop.com. Please email me with your feedback. It's always great to hear how hypnosis and visualization helps people achieve their goals. Thanks for listening.